Blog Talk Radio.
Stevie B's Media Production is a part of the Shellcaster Network.
The proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ by members of the Churches of Christ. With your host, Stevie R. Butler. You're listening to What a Word from the Lord radio show.
You are my protector and you are my provider and my deliverer. There's no other help I know. You are my protector and you are my provider and my deliverer.
Done for.
You're listening to What a Word from the Lord radio show.
Good evening, wherever you're in the world listening to this radio broadcast. Stevie B's Media Production presents What a Word from the Lord radio show. I'm your host this evening, Stevie R. Butler. This radio show is being broadcast from Stevie B Media Production at the Carolina studio in the great state of North Carolina. Ladies and gentlemen, we are just so grateful for the privilege to bring you a program where we as Christians and members of the Churches of Christ can share our faith and preach and teach the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ on a weekly basis. If you'd like to contact us while we're on the air this evening, just give us a call to the live show at 713-955-0508, or you can go to the Blog Talk Radio website and listen to the show live there. There are over 1,700 live shows on Blog Talk Radio, and I just checked the website before I came on the air, and you will find this show on page one this evening of that website, and you will consistently find this show on pages 1-4 of that website. What a blessing. If you have any questions or comments for any of my speakers on the show or my co-hosts, you can send your emails to my new email address, butlersteve1009@yahoo.com, or you can call Stevie B Media Production at the Carolina studio, and that's 910-491-6405. Now, again, this program is brought to you by members of the Churches of Christ, and if you need any assistance in locating a congregation in your area, please feel free to contact us. But now, folks, get out your Bibles and open your Bibles and open your minds, and let's have a great show.
You're listening to What a Word from the Lord radio show.
Before we go into our program for this evening, I would ask that you would bow with me in a word of prayer that we may thank God for this opportunity. Our most kind, gracious, loving Heavenly Father, the Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, Father, we thank you for this show. We thank you for this day. We thank you for allowing us to go through the various activities of the day and placing it on our hearts that we are on this broadcast and we are prepared now to present a portion of your holy and divine word. Father, we pray that you would be with my special guest speaker on the show today, Paul Sanders, and my co-host, Lou Gilbert, as they break unto our listeners the bread of life. And also my special guest in the community corner, Dawana Cabell, as she serves our community with her various talents and gifts to uplift our neighbors. We pray that you will bless them and their families that support their efforts, that they may continue to sow the seed of the kingdom. Father, we pray that you will bless our listeners who are tuning in via Blog Talk Radio as well as through social media. We pray that they may listen well, that they may consider their eternal stance before you, and that their hearts may be pricked, and it will cause them to ask the question, what must I do to be saved? Father, we thank you so much for sending the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We're just so grateful for his precious sacrifice on Calvary's cross. We recognize that without such a sacrifice, we would not have a hope of eternal life. Father, even now, we ask you to forgive us for the transgressions of our own heart. We know our flesh is weak, and we often fall short of thy will. Father, I pray that you'll continue to bless us and keep us and love us all the days of our lives, and that we have been faithful until death. Father, we pray that you will save us. For it's in Christ's name we do ask it all. Amen.
You're listening to What a Word from the Lord radio show.
In the first segment of the broadcast, my special guest is Paul Sanders. He serves as the evangelist for the Smithsonian Church of Christ there in Florence, Alabama, and he'll be making his proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in the Community Corner segment, my special guest is Dawana Cabell. She has a child care center here in the city of Fayetteville, North Carolina. Looking forward to talking to her in that Community Corner. And then to close out the show, my co-host Lou Gilbert, he serves as the evangelist for the Overbrook Park Church of Christ there in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and he'll be making his proclamation of the gospel of Christ to close out the show. So open up your Bibles now and open your minds, and let's have a great show. After the break, the next voice should be that of my special guest speaker, Paul Sanders. Enjoy the show.
You're listening to What a Word from the Lord radio show.
It ain't easy. No. Sometimes it gets hard down here, Lord. Sometimes it gets rough, so rough, so rough. Sometimes it gets tough for me. Has anybody been lonely? All by yourself. Has anybody
You're listening to What a Word from the Lord radio show. Give your attention to the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Now, my special guest speaker, Paul Sanders. This segment has been pre-recorded.
And good morning and welcome to this time spent on radio and with the podcast of Brother Stevie Butler. We want to welcome Brother Butler. Thank him for extending unto me this opportunity to come together and to share with an important doctrinal statement concerning baptism. May I suggest to those of you here that are listening this on this morning is that in Romans chapter 2 and verse 2, it is something interesting that we must always keep in mind in studying God's word, and that is that the word of God is true. In Romans 2, 2, it says, "Therefore, O, art thou inexcusable, O man, whosoever thy shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith, do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. What shall we say then? That and these are the kinds of studies that we will attempt to approach. So, as a matter of fact, this morning, Brother Stevie, it is a subject that had its origin not just here recently, but also in the book of Genesis throughout the indirect reference made regarding it until we get to over to the book of Revelations. And I just want to just say this because I want you to know that all because of baptism is that many have fallen by the wayside and have limited baptism as something that it is something that they can do or don't do. It could make a difference. But I want to talk with you because when I turned that my Bible today to the Romans 2 and verse 2, I just listened to that ring out because it is here that Paul says that we are sure of the judgment of God. But notice that we have to be sure of our teaching and our doctrine. Now, in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10, Peter said it this way and said, "Make your calling and election sure." The promise of God for those he call are great and they are precious, according to 2 Peter 1, 4. As also in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 13. The incumbent upon us is the duty to make our calling and election sure, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10. It implies is that one calling and election is conditional. What do you mean conditional? That those who have been called need to make their election sure. Are you making your calling and election sure is what my concern is today. And it is a good place to start with. See, your initial calling and election, God calls you through the gospel. What do you mean being called by the gospel is that God calls us through his gospel. If you read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 14, you will discover that God called us. The gospel of Christ concerning his death, his burial, and his resurrection, as taught in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 1 through 4. Now, the gospel contains that must be obeyed. And this gospel, it contains commands, commandments that must be obeyed. And may I suggest to you, you can read it in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 8 and 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 17. The command to believe in Jesus is found in John 8:24. And then the command to repent of our sins is found in Acts 17 and verses 30 through 31. Then the command to confess faith in Jesus as Lord is found in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. And the command to be baptized is found in Matthew 28 and verses 19, and then Mark 16, verses 15 and 16, Acts 2 and verse 38, and Acts 22 and verse 16. Have you responded to the gospel with obedient faith, according to Romans chapter 1 and verse 5? You remember the letter to Rome in verse 5. He said, by whom we have received grace and apostleship, is what the Apostle Paul says, for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, and among whom are we also the called of Jesus Christ. So here you learn, and we can learn about making sure your response to the call. What is the call? By obeying all the commands of the gospel. Not just the command to believe, but the command to repent. And not just the command to repent, the command to confess. Not just the command to confess, but the command to be baptized in water for the remission of our sins. By obeying the commands in a biblical matter, have you been baptized in the proper mode? What mode? That means the immersion, not pouring, not sprinkling water, but actually being buried in the watery grave of baptism. Baptism is to be done in the proper mode. And it also, baptism, are the right purpose for being baptized. It is for the remission of sins, not as a public confession, and not as the old creed book of the Baptist said that they are baptized they are not baptized to be saved, they are baptized because they are saved. That is nonsense. That's not what it is all about. The Bible teaches baptism must be by the right purpose. And that purpose is for the remission of sin. Then that's where we touch the blood of Jesus Christ in water, and we put Christ on in baptism. Then baptism, as a suitable subject, is a penitent believer, not as an infant capable of faith. So if your response was different in any way than what we have just discussed, what should we do? Those that are baptized improperly must be rebaptized. Go over to the 19th chapter of the book of Acts, a very interesting passage that we find here in Acts chapter is 19, verses 1 through 5. Go on and take your time and find the verse, and I'll meet you there at verse 1. Acts 19, and starting with verses 1 through 5. Here we can learn some things concerning concerning baptism as we need to know. We are hearing it in Acts 19, verse 1, that it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus and finding certain disciples. Now, I wanted to emphasize the word finding is because Paul deliberately had came to the coast, came to Ephesus for a purpose of finding some individuals who had been baptized. So listen to what he said. He's finding certain disciples. In verse 2, he said unto them, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" And they said unto him, "We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost." Now notice, these individuals had heard, believed, had repented and confessed, and they had even been baptized. But notice, if you would, in verse 3, he said unto them, "If you have not heard whether there be a Holy Ghost," then he says in verse 4, "Then what, Paul? And then what were you baptized?" Notice, he said, they said, talking about the disciples that had been baptized once, said, then in verse 3, he said unto them, "Unto what then were you baptized?" Now, I'm going to reverse the order on that because there perhaps is someone listening to us this morning, maybe have already been baptized. They may have heard, they may have believed, they may have confessed, and they may have been baptized. But the question comes to mind is, what were you baptized for? Now, what was the purpose of your baptism? Now notice, Paul said to them, and they said, "Unto John's baptism." John the Baptist was baptizing many people in the wilderness. But look at verse 4. Then Paul said, "John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him that should come after him, and that is on Christ Jesus." That's found in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11. What then they, and when they heard this, now notice, they said that they were baptized with John's baptism, but until they heard this, what is this? When they were baptized in the name or by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. So here you can learn, when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. That's all in your scripture, all in the Bible for you. So what are you trying to tell us today? If your baptism was in any way different, you should be concerned about it, because the Bible says in Ephesians 4, verse 5, there is only one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. And the biblical mode is to, for the purpose of baptism, is so that we might be saved, making your calling and election sure with biblical response of the gospel. But you should not stop with the reflection on your initial call and election. But for Peter, admonition in on our text is found in 2 Peter, the chapter is 1. I want you to turn over to verse 10. 2 Peter chapter is 1 and verse is number 10. The Bible says, "Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. You want to be in a position where you will never fall. And thank God it is all connected and it is tied to the gospel of Jesus Christ and your obedience to his gospel. See, your ultimate call in election, many are called, but few are chosen. Jesus taught the truth in several parables that he used. You may want to pick it up and read them sometimes for yourself. You remember the tare and in Matthew's 13 and verses 41 to 43. You might remember the wedding feast parable in Matthew's 22 and verse 1 through 14. There was another parable of the talent in Matthew's 25 verses 24 and 30. And there's another one that was the vine in the branches, which you find in John 15 and verses 1 and 2. And this gave us and lends us an information and strength to know that Jesus taught this truth in several parables. What did Jesus teach? He taught that many were called, are called, but only few are chosen. Note the calling and the election of the nation of Israel. Let's look at that as an example. Israel was a whole, was called to be God's people. In Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 6, God had called them, not because they was a great nation, but because they were the least of the people that he called to be his children. Then, but their calling was conditional. What was the condition? Well, let's turn over to the book of Exodus. Chapter is 19, and I would like to give you a few few verses that you might want to study on your personal Bible time, your Bible study time. But it is in the 19th chapter of the book of Exodus that you can read verse 5 and verse number 6. And the Bible says, "Now therefore, if you will obey my voice," God is speaking here, "and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel." And my brothers and sisters, this is giving us the lineage that we need to know, that Israel was as a whole was called to be God's people. Amen. Then, but their calling was conditional. And many individuals failed to live up to their calling. All you need to read is Hebrews chapter 3. And let's look at verse number 7 to show you that we must keep God's word and his will in order to make our calling and our election sure. And these are the things that we fall in line with God's word. And here in Hebrews, the chapter is 3. Let me drop down to that if you would, so that we might make sure of our calling and our election sure, as taught in Exodus, in Deuteronomy 7 and 6, also in Exodus 19, 5 and 6. And when I go to the book of Hebrews chapter 3, it is something that we as Christians in the New Testament must consider. It tells us that we have already lunched upon some things that God has already provided for us. But it's up to us to make our calling and our election sure. Here in Hebrews chapter 3, the Bible says this in verse 7, "Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost said, today if you hear my voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years, wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said that they do always err in their hearts, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest." And then he tells us as Christians in verse 12, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, and lest any of you be hardened through deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end." Well, there you have it, my brothers and sisters. You can see right from the beginning, this is how that calling and election sure, and the way that it is administered is through obedient faith to the gospel of Jesus Christ, believing he died, buried, and he rose on the third day for our sins, and be willing to repent and to confess faith in him as God's son, and to be buried in the watery grave of baptism, thus contacting the blood of Jesus, rising from the water a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. It is there in this that we make our calling and election sure. Similar is the calling and election to the church of God and the church of Christ. You must put that in connection with context. The church as a whole are called to be God's people. Read 1 Peter chapter 2 and verses 9 and 10. You are our calling and election as individuals is conditional. Read Romans 11 and verses 22 and Revelations 2 and verses 4 and 5. Also verse 10. We can become hardened by sin and fall away. And that's what we read in Hebrews chapter 3 verses 12 through 15. We have been called, but will be chosen at the last day, according to Matthew 25 and verse number 34. Making sure your election by God, you must make your election sure by God by being fruitful in the knowledge of Christ. Listen to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 11. "Then adding to your faith such things as virtue, knowledge, self-control, abounding in perseverance and godliness and brotherly kindness and love and charity, then by growing in grace and in knowledge, being aware of apostasy, standing fast in the grace of Christ, then by learning from the parables of Jesus, not to do those things that offend or practice lawlessness in the tares, adorn yourself with the garments of righteousness like was taught in the parable of the wedding feast, utilizing the talents and abilities and opportunities Christ has given us as talents, then bearing fruit in our service to the Lord, the vine and the branches, as taught in John 15. It will your entry into the kingdom be abundantly supplied, as taught in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 11. Now, as I prepare to close, I got 1 minute left. He says, it never hurts to ask one, have I truly responded to the gospel of Christ? Was I scripturally baptized into Christ for the remissions of sin? Was my baptism like those depicted in the example of the convergence in the Bible, in the scriptures? Might I need to be rebaptized like those in Ephesus? It never hurts to ask oneself, am I growing in grace? Am I abounding in the knowledge of Christ? Am I utilizing the talent Christ given me? And am I bearing fruit for Christ? And with these questions, one seeking only to make your calling and your election sure, Paul expressed this way, examine yourself to see whether you be in the faith. Prove your own self. Know ye not your own self, whether Christ be in you, except you be reprobate. I would like to thank you for allowing me, Brother Stevie, to come forth and to share this message with your audience. And we thank God for the presence of all of you who have stayed and have listened to. I want to let this be made available to you by Brother Stevie. You can receive it at any time. Brother Stevie, he know how to get it done. Thank you so much. God bless you, and we look forward to talk even deeper and more to you. God bless, and so long.
You're listening to What a Word from the Lord radio show. You're listening to What a Word from the Lord radio show. The Community Corner.
The Community Corner segment is designed simply to tell our listeners just what products and services are being offered in our communities and how you can contact these various vendors for their services. Ladies and gentlemen, you'd be surprised to know just what products and services that people have to offer that are sitting right there in our congregations among us who have some great services. We just want to make the saints aware of just what's going on around us from those who are serving in our community. We've had people on this show who are in financial services, legal services. We've had authors, college consultants. We've had professional boxers who are doing community service. We've had NFL players. We've had casting producers for television shows, farmers, comedians, health and wellness. We've even had a candidate for the president of the United States in the year 2024 on this broadcast. So the list just goes on and on. So we just want to make you aware of what's going on around us in our community. Now, my special guest in the Community Corner is DeWanica Bell. I hope I pronounced your name right. Welcome to the Community Corner.
Hello, it's DeWanica Bell.
DeWanica Bell, how you doing?
I'm doing good, and yourself?
I'm doing just fine. Now, I just want to tell you before we start this segment that I really enjoyed talking to you that day that I met you at the Hope Mills Medical Home. I really had a great time.
Yes, sir, me too.
Amen. So now give yourself a brief introduction to my listeners of what you've been going on with you in your life.
Well, my name is DeWanica Bell. I'm married, a mother of five. I live here in Fayetteville, North Carolina. I worked at a bank for about 7 years and basically decided to go from there to doing a family child care home. So that's what I'm currently doing right now.
And now, that was my first question to you. Why did you feel it was necessary to start your child care center?
I felt it was necessary for me to start my own child care center was because I was always looking for affordable care for my children, and it seemed as if the higher price centers offered the quality care, and seems as if the higher price centers offered the quality care and the less expensive care offered little curricular programs. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to provide that quality care at an affordable price and create a welcome and loving environment. That is attentive to each child needs and focuses on the children and their parents.
So. Now, does the state subsidize your child care center, or is that something you just get a special tax break or something like that?
I don't know about any special tax breaks as I'm new to this, so I'm learning everything like as we speak. I'm learning the ins and outs of having my own business and getting like information from other people, like networking, like to see how they went about doing it, and they're giving me pointers on what to do on how to do it. So I don't know anything about the special tax breaks. There are several grants that are available for licensed child care homes. I just got licensed on the 23rd of February.
Congratulations.
Things opened up to me. Thank you. So those grants I couldn't apply for until I actually was licensed. I know they had like a stabilization grant that was going on here, I think they came about like 2021, 22. So they was basically in the process of, you know, getting those grants to some of the child care centers and things of that sort. But I wasn't eligible because I wasn't licensed at that time. So I don't know if they're still ongoing now that I can apply. I was working with a company that's called Seed. I'm sorry, my kids are super loud. I was with a company. I went through a program called Seed, CEED. It used to be the Women's Center, but they offered help with, you know, with grants as well, like for small business owners. But it's like a process that you have to go through in order to actually receive the information and, you know, getting those grants that are available to you. Mm-hmm. So I'm still looking into that. I'm trying to go in and finish some of the things that they require so you can actually talk to someone and sit down with someone to tell you what is available to you.
Now, let me ask you this. If you had to give someone some advice that wanted to get into this business like you have, what advice would you give them since you've been in, going through the process here?
Ooh, I would say don't stop because it is a process, especially when you're coming from a different background. Like I said, I was once in banking, so it's education is so much different than banking and finances because you're dealing with not only the children but their parents, and you have to know what you're talking about and what you're dealing with because you want to provide that quality care for those families. So it's best to get that education. Like I know like the requirement was you had to have an EDU 119 class. You can further your education, but that was one of the requirements. You have to take like a workshop as well, and then like get a zoning letter. Like they will have to come and make sure that your house is like, because right now I'm doing it out of my home, so it's like my you can do home or you can do a center if you have that building, but it's two different workshops that you will have to go through depending on which type of center or home care that child care that you're trying to do. So it's a lot. I say it's a lot because it is, like, and then having that equipment because, I mean, if you have money, like, saved up. With me, like, I was working in the banking, and I got terminated for one of my members giving me a $20 gift. So, therefore, I pretty much started from nothing, like, you know, basically using all my savings to pay the bills because I've been out of work for, like, 10 months. So basically, it was a process, but with help of like, you know, my Facebook friends and family members just donating like all my daycare supplies and just helping me along the journey, that was a big help because I had to have a setting for the children. Like, you know, because when the state come in, they want to see it set up as you was to open. So
okay. So are you advertising on social media? For your child care?
I am. I'm currently on just my Facebook page, Dwanika Bell. I have my like the pictures up of the center of my daycare home. So a lot of people have reached out through to me through Messenger. I can only have like 8 children, which they did increase the number to 10 here recently, which I think if I'm correct, like it has to be like 24 months and older if you have that. Those 10 children, I think 7 of them have to be from, like, well, the 24 months and older, and then you'll have, like, 3 after-schoolers, you know, because okay, right now I can have.
Go ahead. I have one last question I wanted to ask you. Go ahead and finish your statement.
Yeah. Oh, because right now it's, like, I have 8, so you have to have, like, 5, whether, like, I do just 1 to 12-year-olds, so I have you know, a ratio of that 5, like from 1-year-old to 5, because some of the kids didn't make school or didn't go to pre-K or their birthdays were late, so some of them are not in school. So I have that age group right now, 1 to 5, like a ratio of 5, and then I can have 3 after-schoolers to make my 8. So.
Now, this is what I was curious about. Since you are a new business, does the state mandate a certain rate for children in the home, or is it a different rate for in the actual center? Is that a law, or how does that work?
No, well, it depends on what type of center like you have. Like for me, I would go by like a 3-star rate because like you have the market rate that's out here for homes and centers. Like it just depends on what type of education that you have, like to, or what curriculum you're providing for those children. Like, because you just don't want to bring children in and just watch them because you're not a babysitter. You are a teacher. You have your credentials to teach them the information that is required based on, like, the foundations that they give you, like, through your courses that you're taking. Like, I'm currently at Federal Tech, like, taking courses, like, to be certified, like, early childhood administration certification. So I'll have that as well because, like, for that, you can basically work at a daycare like to be like a assistant director or direct your own center, because you basically learning the fundamentals to do that. So when you have the education, your facility can be that three-star facility versus someone that doesn't have the education, then they will have to go by that number that, you know, like a one-star facility or two-star. Now, not saying that you can't be that one-star or two-star, but you will want to be that three-star facility, because if you are a three-star rating facility, then you can receive, like, the subsidy voucher or the vouchers for the people that receive child care subsidy. Like right now, I'm currently temporary licensed, so that's with everybody who begins a child care. Like, they'll give you a temporary license for 6 months, and after 6 months, they'll come and rate your facility, whether it's that three-star, that two-star, that one-star, that four, or that five. You know, but you want to be that three-star, because if you're that three-star facility, then you can continue to receive those vouchers from DSS for children who parents have those have received child care subsidy. So that would be the only way that I would receive it if, you know, I'm that three-star facility. And right now, being in all my 6 months temporary license, I can't receive those vouchers from those parents.
Well, tell our listeners how they can get in contact with you if they want to bring their children your way.
Okay. Well, right now I'm currently full. So,
okay.
Unless they need like second shift, I can, you know, provide that time to where, you know, if it's like 3 to 11 that they might need that care, I'll be able to provide that care for them. But if they do need assistance or looking for child care that is, you know, safe, reliable, and a loving environment, they can reach out to me via Facebook. You can go to my Facebook page, Dwanika Bell, and then they can also call me as well. My phone number is 253-304-0109, or through email, dwanikabell@gmail.com, or my business email at dwanika40@lovinglaughter.org.
Well, Dwanika, I want to thank you for coming on the Community Corner. It was a joy meeting you, and I just certainly appreciate you coming on the show, sharing your business information with us. Certainly appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me.
Yes, ma'am. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
The Community Corner. You're listening to What a Word from the Lord radio show.
Put your hand together like this. I want to let you know, with Jesus, everything are going to be all right. Come on, help me, fellas. I said, I've got a feeling everything's going to be all right. You know that.
I've got a feeling
everything's
going to be all right.
Oh,
I've got a feeling
everything's
going to be all right.
It's going to be all right. Everything's gonna be alright. Help me, y'all.
Oh, I've got a feeling.
Everything's
gonna be alright.
Oh, you know that
I've got a feeling.
Everything's gonna be alright. Gonna be alright.
Gonna be alright.
Help me, y'all, boy. Just put your faith in God. It'll be alright. When you come in here this evening with trouble on your face, oh, you're feeling kind of down, all your joy has been erased. Oh, get rid of all your worries. If you've ever heard this story, you know that God has all power in His hands.
Oh,
it's just like, oh, you better trust and believe it'll be alright.
Yeah.
you're going through, it'll be alright. Can I tell you?
No, no matter what you're going through,
it'll be alright. Yeah, my God. My hope is built on nothing less than all his righteousness. I know his word is true, and what he says he's gonna do. So when problems come my way, I'll lift my hands and say, thank you Jesus, thank you Lord.
Come and do,
cause I know it's gonna be
listening to What a Word from the Lord radio show.
This is a program reminder. Stevie B Media Production presents. We're airing live shows here on Blog Talk Radio. The telephone number to the live show is 713-955-0508. And the website is www.blogtalkradio.com/gospel light radio show. On Tuesday, I'm hosting the live show, What a Word from the Lord radio show. And this show will air every second, third, and fourth Tuesday of the month. On the second Tuesday of the month, the show will air from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 to 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. And we have a guest speaker from the Brotherhood of the Church of Christ who will be making that proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And also during the show, we have a Community Corner segment. That segment is designed for small business owners and entrepreneurs who have products and services for our community. I also have two co-hosts on this show, Luke Gilbert. He serves as the evangelist for the Oakwood Park Church of Christ there in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And Isa Mullins, he serves with the Church of Christ in Cary, North Carolina. Then on the third Tuesday of the month, that show will air at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. And my co-host is Dr. Antherica Lane. She's a board-certified obstetrician and gynecologist, and she serves with the Great Road Church of Christ there in Cincinnati, Ohio. She will be hosting her show, Conversations with Dr. Lane. And then on the fourth Tuesday of the month, that show will air from 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. And I have my co-host, Kelly Fletcher. She serves with the Livingstone Church of Christ there in Indianapolis, Indiana. And she'll be hosting her show, The Kelly Fletcher Show. Then on Thursday evening, I'll be hosting a live show, The Gospel Light Radio Show. And that show will air from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 to 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. And there are eight co-hosts on that show: Clay Phillips, Dr. Frank Washington, Steve Cordell, Emmanuel B. Junikin, and Glenn McMillian, Stanley Hubbard, Yusuf Ford, and Brian Christian Coleman. And these gentlemen will be presenting lessons from the Word of God. And each week I have two of my co-hosts on the air with me. I'm also taking a question from my social media platform on Facebook called Shout It Out that I'll be posing to one of my co-hosts on that live show as well. Then on Friday night, I'm hosting a live show, Stevie B's Acapella Gospel Music Blast. This radio show, the 2022 recipient for the NACAMA, National Academy of Christian Acapella Music Artists Award for Outstanding Achievement in Record or Radio. This show will air from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8 to 10 p.m. Central Standard Time. And on this radio show, I'm playing some of the world's greatest acapella gospel music artists, the sweet sounds of voices. We're also interviewing artists, producers, writers. We're also debuting new music and featuring old music on this broadcast as well. And every third Friday of the month, we do my Top 20 Countdown show. And we also have on-demand episodes. Well, there are just a variety of musical platforms that you can listen to these shows. Spotify, Pandora, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, Apple iTunes, YouTube, and Deezer, and just to name a few. We also have recorded version shows. These shows are album debuts mostly, so the same playlist that was used on the live show will be used on these recorded version shows. And these shows can only be heard on iHeartRadio, on Deezer, and also on Amazon Music. Just search for Stevie B Recorded Version Show. I want to thank all of our sponsors who are sponsoring these radio shows. If you'd like to become a sponsor, just contact my sponsorship manager, Michelle Marco, from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Her telephone number is 954-687-4705. The three E's of Stevie B Media Production, it is the objective of this broadcast. We want to educate, we want to edify, we want to encourage you in the study of God's Word. And that will conclude our program announcements. You're listening to What a Word from the Lord radio show. Stay tuned.
You're listening to What a Word from the Lord radio show.
This time, the storm, well, it brought me down to my knees. And I pray, Father, please, have mercy, Lord, 'cause I'm almost. Every morning when I would rise, I did not think I could face another day. But I made it because you fed me my daily bread. Yeah, Lord. See, when I needed faith, God had fed me. I needed courage. God fed me my
daily bread.
Lord, just enough to make it, Lord, I pray. And the first day, y'all, I made. And Lord, the second day,
I made.
See, when I needed help, you call on the Lord. And when you're called, just remember, Lord, what Jesus said. Don't pray for tomorrow, 'cause it may never come. Don't worry about the next day, 'cause all you've got is this one. Oh, when you call, you gotta ask him for yours. And when you need strength, God will give you yours. Lord, enough to make it through the day. When you need courage, God will give you. See that you'll make it. Just put your trust in him. Put your hand in God's hand. And I know you'll make it. Just believe this way. You've got to trust in him. And I'm a witness too.
life will knock you sometimes straight down on your knees. But you gotta stay in prayer daily for strength, for courage, and get up. That's the key. You gotta get up and put your head in his, and then you'll make. You'll see the fruit from your labor. No weapon formed against you can touch Christ on some faith. He'll lead you step after step to the troubled song, through the good and the bad of you, until it brings you home.
You're listening to What a Word from the Lord radio show. Give your attention to the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Now, my co-host, Lou Gilbert, this segment has been pre-recorded.
Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. The Bible still says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. God has been good to you. God has blessed your life. God has brought you from a mighty long way. And for that, we all should be grateful. I want to say good evening to you. As mentioned, I'm Brother Laruna Gilbert from the Overbrook Park Church of Christ in the city of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We encourage you to come visit us at your next availability. I want you to look with me tonight in Acts chapter 8. We'll be primarily in a very familiar text, Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 40, there about a very familiar story of the Philip and the eunuch. And again, I want to thank our illustrious host, as always, Brother Stevie B, for his invitation and encouragement on this gospel program. What a Word from the Lord. We're so thankful for his arduous work, his stick-to-itiveness over these many years, and we're just grateful for, again, the opportunity and to be a part of this great gospel sharing avenue. Again, Acts chapter 8, and again, I won't read the entire text, but I'll just read some. As I said, most of us should be familiar with this particular story in Acts chapter 8, picking up at verse 26, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, while returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself unto this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah. And he said, understandest thou what thou readest? I want to talk again about Philip and the eunuch tonight. And hopefully by our reading and passage tonight, someone will ask the question, what must I do to be saved? Every Bible student is familiar with the incidents narrated in the 8th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. Many lessons have been drawn, and we hope to draw a few more even on tonight. In the opening verse of this chapter, chapter 8, we read that the church in Jerusalem had been scattered abroad by persecutions. They were being run out of town. They were being arrested, perhaps even killed. And all of this was instigated by Saul of Tarsus. we read that they went everywhere preaching the word as they were scattered by the persecution. They went everywhere preaching the word. And we find among this number that left Jerusalem a man by the name of Philip. You may remember Philip from Acts chapter 6, who had become an evangelist at this time. In Acts chapter 6, we see him there as one of those seven servants of the church. So this Philip goes down to the city of Samaria, proclaiming unto them the Christ. Here we have a preacher with no pulpit, but yet making his own pulpit in the city of the Samaritans. He was run out of town, and now he's preaching to those on the outside, also out of town as well, these half-breed individuals, racially and religiously, on the outskirts of society, but yet he went to preach the gospel to them. The Bible says he was a man full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, from Acts chapter 6. And so as the man of God preached his messages, he stirred the entire city. Many in that city heard the word of Jesus. They heard the gospel message. And the Bible says they believed. They believed Philip's preaching the good tidings, the gospel of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus. And the Bible says they were baptized, both men and women. Can you imagine that? At the preaching of the word, they were baptized, both men and women, everybody. And there was much joy in the city. I like that. The Bible says there was much joy in the city. As we peruse our world today, perhaps the reason there's no joy in many places, in many cities in America, may have to do with the fact that the gospel of Jesus may not be preached or is not being preached. Perhaps it could be that the gospel is not understood and not promoted. Perhaps the reason there is no joy in the city is because we, unlike Philip, perhaps don't like to go to the hard places, the out-of-the-way places, to preach the unadulterated word of God. Perhaps the reason there's no joy in many of our homes is the fact that, well, there may be too many internet connections and not enough heaven from prayer connections. Perhaps the reason there is no joy in some of our churches may be that there's too much worldliness and not enough holiness. Y'all don't hear me now. We've got to bring joy back to the city, but the way to bring joy back to the city is the glorious good news of Jesus Christ. Now, as we go on, we find when this meeting in Samaria was at its height, he was preaching. Men and women were being baptized. People were giving their lives to God. Then a peculiar incident occurred. In the middle of this great revival, if you will, this great campaign for Christ, if you will, with many souls coming to the Lord, the angel of the Lord appeared unto Philip and told him to arise and go toward the south until he came to the road that went down from Jerusalem to Gaza. Interesting. The angel of the Lord gave him a new set of instructions, a new set of marching orders, gave him new plans. Now, I know how it is when things are going well in one place. You get into a groove, you get into a flow. But then God says it's time to move. And I don't know how he felt about it, but I know what he did about it. He left that great revival meeting in that city, and he left those massive crowds, everyone believing and coming to the Lord. He left the public exposure. He left all of that behind. Why? Because the divine messenger had spoken and said unto him, I want you to go and preach the gospel to another place. The Bible says that he arose and went to the designated place without delay. That's a good gospel preacher right there, to go where God says go. Can you picture him walking up and down perhaps this way after a hot and dusty trip, wondering what his task would be? And then suddenly he sees something in the distance. Suddenly he sees a chariot approaching. And as this vehicle drew near, the dust began to clear and he could see the occupant was an Ethiopian. That's right. He was from Ethiopia. He was from the continent of Africa. Might I just say there is a strong African presence in the Bible. The Bible says that he was from Ethiopia. And more than likely, he was dressed in dignity, indicating that he was a man of considerable authority in his country. He worked for the queen, and now he would work the king, King Jesus. Later on, we'll see that. He found him reading a parchment copy of the Old Testament scriptures. Perhaps he bought it at the market in Jerusalem. A conversation ensued, and finding that the eunuch was reading from the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, that wonderful presentation of the suffering Messiah, the suffering Lamb of God, Philip got a little nosy. That's right, he got nosy. He asked the question, "Do you understand what you're reading?" You know, he wasn't afraid. He wasn't scared. He wasn't put off by the fact that this man was someone in authority. He was reading the scriptures. He was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Here the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, say the same thing, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." You know, there are some things we should be ashamed of, but the gospel is not one of them. We should be ashamed of the lack of love and commitment that we show. We should be ashamed of our giving sometimes. We should be ashamed of the attitudes we catch sometimes. We should be ashamed of the unforgiveness in our lives and the sin in our lives. But we should never be ashamed of the gospel. And so he got into his business and he says, you know, "Do you understand what you're reading?" I know it's not polite to get in folks' business, but as the ecclesiastical writer says, there is a time for everything. And there is a time to get in someone's business, if you will, spiritually. Don't be ashamed to ask questions for those who seem to be religious. Folk on your job, folk in your school, folk in on the bus, in the hair salon, and they can talk all of this Jesus talk. Don't you be ashamed to ask them, "Well, do you really understand?" The eunuch answered, "How can I, except some man should guide me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him in the chariot. And then I like what Philip did next. Philip didn't go into his genealogy. Philip didn't go into the fact that he was a Jew and he was an Ethiopian. Philip started at the same scripture and began to preach unto him Jesus. The Bible says he opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Oh, my friend, something happens when you just preach Jesus. He didn't preach psychology. He didn't preach economics. He preached Jesus. When you preach Jesus, people's eyes are opened. When you preach Jesus, people's hearts are softened. When you preach Jesus, old habits are broken. When you preach Jesus, people's hearts are healed. When you preach Jesus, people's lives are changed. Keep on preaching Jesus. That was Philip's message. It was Jesus in the city, and now Jesus in the country, Jesus all the way around, Jesus in the crowd, and Jesus one-on-one. Jesus was his sermon in Samaria, and he preached Jesus, the same Jesus, to the eunuch. Christ was all his message to all of the people that he preached to. This is the only sermon perhaps Philip knew, the one about Jesus. His text was Jesus. His topic was Jesus. His exposition was Jesus. And his conclusion was Jesus. The message of Jesus of Nazareth. Yes, he had died. He had been buried. And he rose again the third day. And that remission of sins had been promised unto all mankind in his name upon specific conditions. This was the apostolic message and must always be the supreme message of the Christian ministry today. You see, the supreme message of Christianity is Christ and him crucified. Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the door of the fold. He is the chief shepherd. He is the king of kings and Lord of lords. He is the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. He is the Alpha and Omega. He is the author and perfecter of our faith. He is the head over all things to the church and the captain of our salvation. His name is Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. He is the Rose of Sharon and the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. He is the Resurrection and the Life. He is the Son of the Living God. Oh, something about that name, Jesus. And so he preached unto him, Jesus, just like Peter preached on Pentecost. He said, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made him both Lord and Christ, Jesus, whom ye crucified, Acts 2:36. We live in this high speed, on demand, politically confused, unrestricted society, but the message of Jesus is the only hope and the best hope we have for survival. Yes, I know it's tough to watch what's going on in many of our major cities. I'm in the city of Philadelphia, where there has been more than close to 100 killings in this city alone. Cities like, again, Philadelphia, Baltimore, Charleston, New York City, Ferguson, and so many others in our country. In the first 50 days of this year in the city of Philadelphia, there were 50 mass shootings, and something is going wrong. People need the name of Jesus. Y'all don't hear me now. If we're going to come up with solutions for our cities, I say Jesus, the name of Jesus, the word of God, has to be part of the solution. Now, the Bible declares that when they came to a certain water, he had been teaching the eunuch, starting with Jesus. He had been teaching Jesus, and the Bible says when they came to a certain water, the eunuch himself, watch that, the eunuch himself said, see, here is water. What hindereth me from being baptized? That's the question from a man who had been to worship. Y'all don't hear me now. But he was not afforded the privileges as others. Stay with me now. You see, a eunuch, as a eunuch, he could only go so far in the temple for worship. In a way, he was an outcast. He was unclean. He was different because of his status as a eunuch that barred him from full expression of worship. Deuteronomy 23, around verse 1, read that in your time. And so he may have had some reservations, but he asked anyway. Maybe during his reading of the book of Isaiah, he read Isaiah 35 and verse 6, then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing, for in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert. Maybe this was that new thing Isaiah wrote about in Isaiah 43 and verse 19 about there being rivers in the desert. From what we heard from the preacher, from the preacher, the message let him know that salvation could be his as well. Well, somebody says, well, now how did he know about baptism? Well, we know about baptism based upon what he did. You see, you don't have to explain. Just watch what someone does. Amen. We know that he knew something about baptism because he asked the question, here's water, what doeth hinder me to be baptized? When they came to the water, the eunuch put it together on the basis of what he had been taught by the preacher. You see, you can't preach Jesus without baptism. Stay with me now. I know some don't want to hear this, but you can't preach Jesus without baptism. Folks try to fight it and confuse it and take it out of the Bible and abuse it. But the truth of the matter is you just can't preach salvation without preaching baptism. For baptism is a part of the gospel. Mark 16:15-16, Jesus commanded it. Matthew 28:18-19, baptism is for the remission of sins. Acts 2:38. 38, Acts 22:16, baptism puts you into Christ. Romans 6:1-4. With baptism, you put on Christ. Galatians 3:27. And guess what? Baptism will save you right now. Y'all don't hear what I said. Baptism will save you right now. And what does the world need today? The world needs to hear a message about Jesus. The world needs to hear the gospel of Jesus. Why? Because there's so much chaos in our world. Y'all don't hear me now, even on today. So the answer again to the chaos in the world is the gospel of Christ. Where in the world can we find consolation in Christ Jesus? He alone can console the suffering heart. Jesus alone can appease the distracted mind. Jesus alone can speak peace to the unpardoned soul. You see, nobody but Jesus can really satisfy my soul. Nobody but Jesus can really understand my emotional feelings. Nobody but Jesus can really fulfill my spiritual requirements. Nobody but Jesus can really sustain my inner peace. Nobody but Jesus can really refresh my weary and heavy heart. Nobody but Jesus can really grant my deeper desires and longings. And so you see, he had to preach unto him Jesus. Jesus himself was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, as the prophet reads in Isaiah chapter 53. The world needs this message because there's so much sin in the world. Did you know that sin is like a criminal? It's a thief. It's a thief. It's a slanderer. It's a slave dealer. Sin is a seducer of the vilest type. Satan promises so much but gives so little. Satan promises stars, but he'll give you scars. He promises freedom, but he'll give you bondage. He promotes wealth, but only will give you poverty. Satan advertises good things, but gives destruction. And so he had to preach unto him Jesus. And he had, the Bible says, that the eunuch said, "See here, here is baptism. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And I like the fact that the Bible says he did not go back and forth with him. He said, "If you believe, you may be baptized." And the eunuch made that great confession: "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he baptized him. He baptized him. They both went down into the water, and he came up out of the water and went on his way rejoicing. You see, this is what happens when you just preach Jesus. You preach Jesus, you preach the kingdom, you preach the church, you preach all of that is encompassed in the great gospel story. And so, my friends, it's my prayer today that something that I have said has sparked something in your mind to ask the question, am I saved? Have I been baptized for the remission of my sins? Jesus himself said, again, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." And so, my friends, it's my prayer tonight that if you are not saved, that you will reach out to a member of the Church of Christ, locate a Church of Christ in your city, speak with one of the elders or the leaders or the ministers, and let them know that you are ready to hear more of this gospel, or you're just ready by what you've heard tonight to become a Christian, to put Christ on baptism. And so the lesson is yours, Philip and the eunuch, tonight. Very, very simple, plain, straightforward lesson. And it's my prayer that it will bless you and as you go through your life, and may you realize and understand that, yes, you too have a God to serve and a soul to save. Again, you come by hearing the word, believing the same word, repenting of your sins, confessing Christ, and being baptized in water for the remission of your sins. May God bless you. May God bless you real good. I turn you back over to the hands of our host, Brother Stevie Blee. May God bless you. Amen.
You're listening to What a Word from the Lord radio show.
I took my mind out of the world. Jesus led me on. My mind became good.
I changed my life.
I started to walk right. I started to talk right. My friends, they asked me, what's going on? I said, I let go of sin and let Jesus lead me on. Sin's not for you. Trust me, I know. It'll have you torn apart. Trust me, I know. Get on your knees and pray, Lord, please lead me, Lord.
Lead me, Lord.
Won't you lead me?
Lead me, Lord.
Won't you lead me?
Lead me, Lord.
I followed the world, Lord.
Lead me, Lord.
They led me wrong.
Lead me, Lord.
Had me living in sin.
Lead me, Lord.
For too long.
Lord,
won't you lead me?
Lord,
won't you lead me?
Lead me, Lord.
I'm down on my knees. Begging you, please.
Lead me, Lord.
My soul's free from a world of sin. I'm so glad my Jesus.
My Jesus,
he led me on. But I had to walk like
my Jesus.
I had to talk like
my Jesus.
I had to love like
my Jesus.
I had to pray like
my Jesus.
There's nobody like
my Jesus.
There's nobody like
my Jesus.
I had to let go and let my Jesus lead me on.
It's not for you.
Trust me, I know. It'll have you torn apart.
Trust me, I know.
Get on your knees and pray, Lord, please lead me. Lord, won't you lead me? Wandering around too long. Lord, won't you lead me? Lord, won't you lead me? Lord, won't you lead me? Oh, I need you.
Lord. I said I let go and let my Jesus lead me.
You're listening to What a Word from the Lord radio show.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's our show. I want to thank you for spending a little time with us this evening in a study of God's Word. I want to thank my speakers on the show this evening, my special guest speaker Paul Sanders and my co-host Lou Gilbert. They did a great job on this broadcast. Also in the Community Corner, my special guest was the Juanica Bell. I really appreciate her coming on the show and sharing her business with us as well. What a blessing. I'm certainly grateful for everyone who participated on the show this evening. It's my prayer, ladies and gentlemen, that the lessons and the things that have been said on this broadcast have been beneficial to your spiritual lives. And your relationship with the Lord has been strengthened because you're not only tuning in this radio broadcast, but you're giving yourself over to a study of God's Word. So until we meet again, I pray God's continual blessings upon your lives and that he bless you real good. You've been listening to What a Word from the Lord radio show. On behalf of my co-host Ison Mullins, Dr. Antherica Lane, Lou Gilbert, and Kelly Fletcher, we really do appreciate your love and support for these radio programs. I'm your host, Stevie R. Butler. Good night, everybody. God bless you.
You're listening to What a Word from the Lord radio show.
Your grace.
I'm living this moment.
Thank you, Jesus.
And praise you too.
Your grace,
your grace and mercy
that brought me. Thank you for saving a sinner like me. Tell the world that salvation is free. There were times
listening to What a Word from the Lord radio show.